Good to be at camp meeting, amen. I've enjoyed the good choir singing and also the special numbers by the trio tonight. Blessed our hearts. And got a lot of precious memories around this place. And I came to High Point, Archdale, actually, in 1978. And Brother Paul Sparks, some of the fellows invited me over to camp meeting, and thank the Lord for it. Got a lot of precious memories around here. And thank the Lord for the opportunity to come and share a portion of the Word of God tonight. And I got to thinking about all the men of God who've stood here in this pulpit down through the years. Many of them already over in glory. Men like Dr. Percy Ray and, of course, Brother Mays and many of those others, Lord, Billy Kelly and some of those, Sammy Allen and all of them. But anyway, come my Lord, I'm here tonight. Amen. So you pray for me that I might be a blessing and be a help. I heard about a pastor. He had preached his message, and he went back to the door to shake hands with folks like he always did, and he shook hands for several people. And finally, a little boy came by, and he said, "How you doing, son?" And the little boy said, "Okay." And he reached out his hand to shake hands with him, and he felt something in the little boy's hand. And he said, "Son, what is that?" Little boy said, "Preacher, that's money." And the preacher said, "Why, son, I don't want your money." He said, "Oh, but said I want you to have it." Said, "My dad said you're the poorest preacher we ever had, and I want to help out." Amen. So I hope I won't be the poorest preacher y'all ever had around here, all right? But look with me tonight in Psalms 42, and we'll read that psalm tonight, and we'll get right on in the message, and appreciate the opportunity to be here. Good to have my wife, Miss Sarah, with me, and also my oldest daughter, Lisa, and her husband, Tim. Good to have them in the service as well. And, of course, my other daughter lives up there close to me, and she had talked about coming, but things didn't quite work out. But anyway, Psalms 42 and verse 1. "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the nighttime His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto thee, God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Father, I thank You for the reading of the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for every song that's been sung now. I pray, Lord, as we look into the Word of God, that it certainly, Lord, be a blessing, be a help as we look at it together tonight. Lord, I realize I stand where no one dare stand alone. Certainly, Lord, apart from You, I'm nothing. But I pray, Lord, You'd be pleased to help me for a little while tonight and use me, Lord, in a special way. I pray for one in our midst tonight, lost. May they see their need of salvation. There may be one here tonight, God is walking afar off. Help them get back where they need to be. Thank You, Lord, for this old time count meeting and Lord, 51 years this year now preaching, and thank God for it, and many souls have been blessed as a result of it, and I pray, Lord, tonight it'll be no different. Somebody will go away from here encouraged, blessed, and helped. We'll give You praise, honor, and glory for all You do We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now we find the psalmist is writing this psalm here. And he's talking about here, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now that hart, that's an animal like a deer. And can you imagine for a moment, maybe the dogs have been after him. And boy, what a good drink of cold water would do for that animal. But listen, friend, he said, my soul thirsted for God. I would to God tonight we had some folk get thirsty for the things of God. I mean, friend, somehow I just put aside the world and all the things that are going on today, get back to where you ought to be with God, and get thirsty for the things of God. But we find in this passage of Scripture, the psalmist has got some enemies. They're even got to the point, because he's going through some difficult times and suffering affliction and all of that, they ask a question, where is thy God? There in verse number 3, and also down verse number 10, again, he said, where is thy God? Now, have you ever been to a place in your life sometimes when things don't go quite well, and some of your friends said, well, I wonder what in the world's wrong? Where's your God at now? Why are you going through this, or why are you going through that? Well, really, friend, we don't have a right to ask the question because, friend, we don't know what God may be doing in hearts and lives, and I'm glad God works in mysterious ways. But here the question is asked two different times, where is thy God? Well, I want to preach for a little while tonight and tell you where he is. Amen. I want to preach for a little while tonight and just tell you where he is. Well, I want to say, first of all, I'm glad the Lord will be there when you're dwelling in the tombs. Amen. Over there in Mark's Gospel, we find there along about verse chapter number 5, we find a fellow, we refer to him many times as the Gadarene maniac. Bible said that fellow is a dwelling in the tombs. He's hanging out in the graveyard. Now, that's just not normal. Amen. You find me hanging out in the graveyard, you say something wrong, old Leon. But I'm telling you, friend, this fellow was demon-possessed. They bind him with chains and fetters. He'd break asunder. Friend, he's also not only dwelling in the tomb, he's dwelling up in the mountains, and he's demon-possessed. And friend, the Bible said no man could tame him. But I'm glad Jesus come by one day. Amen. Jesus came by one day. And he recognized who Jesus was and cried out to the Lord. And the Lord cast those demons out. Amen. And the Bible said there was a herd of swine dwelling nearby, about 2,000 hogs. And the Bible said those demons went in those hogs. They ran down a steep place. Now, I'm a farm boy. I've been on the farm for many years. You can't run a hog down a steep place. He'll go that way or that way on. He ain't going straight down. But those hogs went down because the demons were in them. Went straight down, went into the sea, and drowned. They committed hogicide. Amen. But hey, Jesus cast the demons out of that old boy. And you find him sitting at Jesus' feet and clothed and in his right mind. Now, I want to say tonight, friend, the devil will make you take your clothes off. But I believe you really get saved, born again, you want to put some on. Now, some of y'all been wondering, where in the world did that fella get those clothes? Well, I don't think there's any problem for the Lord to dispatch an angel, say, bring me a size 46 long. Amen. All I know is he's clothed and in his right mind. And I'm glad the Lord can straighten out your thinking. Amen. But that old boy wants to go with Jesus and he gets ready to go. But the Lord said, hey, I want you to go home. That lets me know he had a home. said, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. And the Bible says he began to publish in Decapolis what the Lord had done. I don't think there were any publishing machines those days. And by the way, I don't think the old boy had to say too much because they saw such a difference in his life. And by the way, you get a good case of old-time Holy Ghost salvation, you won't have to put a sign on your back saying, I'm saved. Somebody will pick up on it somewhere. Or they ought to, amen. But I said, where's God at? Well, he'll be there when you're dwelling in the tombs. Number two, he'll be there when the doctors have failed. In that same chapter, his little woman who had an issue of blood. 12 years. The Bible says that she went to the doctors and she had spent all. Now, it's bad enough to go to the doctor and have to give him your hard-earned money. But hey, you go give the doctor money after money after money and you're continually getting worse. That's the bad shape to be in. But thank God she heard about Jesus. And she said, but if I can but just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. There's a crowd following Jesus, amen. But she made her way through that crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And that issue of blood was staunched, one of the writers said. That means it dried up. Hallelujah. Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples said, Lord, all this crowd thronging thee, and you ask who touched me? He said he knew somebody touched him because virtue had gone out of him. And that little woman was gloriously healed. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Where's the Lord at, preacher? Well, he'll be there and you're dwelling in the tombs. He'll be there when the doctors have failed. But then I'm glad he'll be there in the deepest valleys. The deepest valleys. Now, friend, if you hadn't been in a valley lately, you just hang on, you'll probably be in one. Amen? But listen, I read about a valley over there in the Old Testament. We find that over there in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's called the Valley of Elah. And the Philistines are out there in confrontation with God's people. And they got one big old fellow out there. Bible refers to him as a giant. Somebody said he's over 9 foot tall. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, they got all those people out there trembling in their boots. And nobody's willing to go up against that big giant. But I'm glad God's got a little shepherd boy over there on the backside of nowhere. And David's dad sends him down there to check on his brothers. He gets down there and sees that big old guy out there defying the armies of God. Amen. And friend, he's ready to go to fight that fella. And his brothers condemned him for even coming down there. But listen, David looked at him and said, is there not a cause? I'm glad tonight, friend, there are some things still worth fighting for even in this day and in this age. But thank God, here's a little young boy that's willing to go out against that giant. And finally, they decide they let him go. Well, my soul, he put Saul's armor on him. He said, I ain't proved this stuff. And he laid it off. You mean he's going out there and fighting, don't even have no armor? Well, the Bible said he went down by the brook, picked him up 5 smooth stones. Amen. Somebody said, why did he get 5? Somebody said that giant had 4 brothers. I don't know about that. But anyway, he had 5, but it only took one to take care of him. And that old giant looks out there and says, what are you doing coming out here out of me? David said, you coming to me with staves and swords, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. put him one of those smooth stones in that sling, slung her around, hit that giant between the eyes. Somebody said that stone hit him in the head, in between the eyes. God hit him in the back of the head. I don't know, but he fell forward. That's what the Bible says. Amen. David went over, drew that fella's sword out, cut his head off. I came back, I toting the head of that giant. I said, where's God at? I'm glad he'll be there in the deepest valleys. Hallelujah. Well, he'll not only be there when you're dwelling in the tombs, the doctors have failed, he'll be there in the deepest valleys, but I'm glad he can be there in the driest deserts. Amen. My Bible says he maketh streams in the desert. Amen. Thank God he can. You remember the story, how Jesus been teaching over there out of all that big crowd. And finally it dawns on them, they don't have anything to eat. And Jesus tells those fellas, you got to get them some food. One of them said, Lord, if we had 200 penny worth, that wouldn't feed this crowd. Well, if that'd been me and Brother Mabe, we'd said, Lord, there ain't a McDonald's and a Hardee's in 1,000 miles this place. We can't feed this bunch. But Jesus said, what have you got? And they found a little boy over there with a sack lunch. I've often thought about that a lot. How come that little boy had something to eat and nobody else did? I just kindly believe Mama fixed that for him. Bible said he had 5 loaves, not big 5 loaves of bread like you think about. But I believe he had 5 pieces of bread, 2 little fishes. They might have been sardines, I don't know. But hey, he had something to eat, but I believe he got so fascinated with the teaching of Jesus that he forgot all about being hungry. Would to God we had some Baptists in our Baptist churches on Sunday morning, quit worrying about beating the Methodists down to the cafeteria and listen to the men of God and get fed from the Word of God. Would to God we had some folks hungry, amen. I kind of believe that little boy was listening to Jesus and forgot all about eating. But Jesus had him sit down in companies of 1500s, and my Bible says he blessed it and he broke it and he called those disciples over there. Now, by the way, that's the crowd said it can't be done, cost too much. Amen. But that crowd said it can't be done, cost too much. Who does he get to give out the bread and the fish? That crowd said it can't be done. Oh, I've heard all of that down through the years. Been preaching 45 years, pastored for 4 Baptist churches, been in evangelism now a long time. I've heard it all, but listen, friend. Hey, who does he get to give out the food? That crowd said it can't be done. Oh, you always got one somewhere said, well, you better look out, preacher. It'll get out of hand. Well, I wonder whose hand it'll get out of. It won't get out of God's hand. My Bible said that he blessed it and he broke it and he had them fellas give out the food to that crowd. And the Bible said, and they all ate until they were filled. That's kind of like the way I like to eat. And I kind of believe that's scriptural, amen. They ate until they were filled. Amen. But they all got fed. 5,000 men beside the women and the children. I don't know if every one of them had a wife and had a couple of kids. Could have been up as much as 20,000 folks. I don't know. But I do know one thing. They all ate until they were filled. And when they got through eating, they took up 12 baskets. Left over. Amen. Now, there's a lot of supposition as to what about those 12 baskets. Well, how many disciples were they? 12. Amen. That crowd said it can't be done, cost too much. Lord said, all right, I've showed you that it can be done, and now I'm going to give you a basket each to take home. Amen. You say, I don't see it that way. Well, I'm preaching tonight, all right? Hallelujah. I said he'll be there when you're dwelling in tombs. The doctors have failed the deepest valleys and the driest deserts. Then I want to say also tonight, friend, he will be there in the disappointments of life. Did you know life's made up of disappointments? Oh, I know we got this crowd today on TV and some of them on radio that says if you just get saved, you'll never have another problem. You'll drive a nice automobile, live in a new house and all that. All that sounds good. But friend, there are going to be some disappointments in life. I think about a young man by the name of Joseph. His dad favored him a little bit, made him a coat of many colors, and the brothers didn't like it. They became jealous. Better be careful how you treat one kid better than you do the others. Amen. But anyway, you know the story. Father sends him out one day to see how the brethren's doing. And they've heard about his dreams, and they call him a dreamer and all of this. And they said, well, this would be a good time to get rid of the dreamer. First thought was they're going to kill him. But then one of the brothers said, no, wait, there's a pit over here. They put him in a pit. Thank God didn't have no water in it. But they put him in a pit. Right after they put him in a pit, the Bible said a bunch of merchant men come by. Midnights, merchant men. And one of them come up with the idea, why don't we just sell him? We'll get a little money anyway out of him. Won't kill him, but we'll just sell him. They sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Can you imagine your own family selling you out? But they sold him to those Midianite merchant men. They take him down in Egypt, and somehow or another he ends up over there in Potiphar's house. Well, in spite of the disappointment, Bible says God prospered him. God prospered him. I mean, he's in charge of everything around Potiphar's house, and he gave him charge over everything except Potiphar's wife. But Joseph's up there one day, and she had an eye for him. Said, come and lie with me. Joseph said, I can't do that. How can I sin against God and do this awful thing out of my master's house? Well, Bible said day by day. By the way, the devil don't get you the first day. You just mark her down. He'll be back another day. And day by day, she kept on after him. And finally, one day, he goes in there to do the things that need to be done in the house. And she caught him. And he jerked his coat off and fled. And she screamed, told a lie on him. And Joseph ends up down in the prison house. Well, he went from the pit to Potiphar's house. And now he's down in the prison house. Well, he hadn't been down in the prison house long till he's been made in charge of the prison. Looking after the prisoners. And again, the Bible said, and the Lord prospered him. But the two old fellas down there in jail, that Pharaoh used to be Pharaoh's servants, the butler and the baker. Those old boys had a couple of dreams, and they needed somebody to interpret them. Joseph said, God can interpret dreams. Amen. So Joseph interpreted those dreams. Now, the old baker, he's going to be killed. But the butler, he'll be spared according to the interpretation of the dream. So anyway, they kill the baker. They let the butler out. And Joseph said to the butler, when you get out of here, you put in a good word for me. But the Bible said the butler forgot Joseph. Another disappointment. Another disappointment. But finally, the old king, he has a dream about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, and he couldn't none of his soothsayers and astrologers interpreted. And finally, somebody said, hey, there's a boy down there in the prison house. He interprets dreams. Pharaoh said, go get him. They brought him up there, and he interpreted that dream, told them there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there'll be 7 years famine, and you need to store up for those 7 years of famine. And so when they get Joseph up there and hear all of that, Pharaoh looks around and said, who could we find to take care of this business? Somebody said, there's Joseph, he's pretty smart. Huh? I said, the Lord will be there in the disappointments of life. Amen. Joseph had been disappointed. He went to the pit, went to Potiphar's house, went to the prison house. But thank God he ends up in Pharaoh's house. And who's in charge of dispensing the food during the 7 years famine? Joseph. Joseph's brothers find out there's food down there. And they got to go down there and get some food. And they go down there and get some food. And finally, I don't have time to get into all of that, but finally, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. They go back and get his little brother and bring his dad down there. And who is it in charge of all this? Joseph. Went through a lot of disappointments. And even when he reveals himself to his brothers, he said that you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. So I'm trying to tell you, the Lord will be there in the disappointments of life. And then I'm glad he'll be there in the disastrous storm. Somebody said you're either in a storm, you're going getting out of one, or you're fixing to go into another one. Amen. Life's made up of storms. But aren't you glad we got somebody with us when the storms come? Amen. Thank God he'll be there in the disastrous storms. I think about in Mark chapter number 4 and verse 35. Bible says there that... Jesus tells the disciples, let us go to the other side. And then it said they took Jesus on board. Do you remember a time when you took Jesus on board your ship? Thank God, I'm glad I do. And Jesus said, we're going to the other side. The fact Jesus on board my ship is my guarantee I'm going to make it over there to the other side. But oh, we've been sailing together a long, long time. Amen. I've been saved 66 years. Some of y'all didn't think I was that old. But hey, I ran into a few storms, but I never ran into one Jesus couldn't handle. Amen. And the storm arises. Jesus is in the hinder part of the boat. He's asleep on a pillow. He's not worried too much about it. But boy, when those waves kept beating in that ship and that boat got full of water, I know some of these modernists have tried to explain that away, but I just believe the boat was full of water. Now, it's one thing for the ship to be in the ocean. It's another thing when the ocean gets in the ship. Ain't never been on a boat full of water. Don't have any desire to be. But finally, those old boys said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, if you'll read that passage, you'll find there in verse 37, it said a great storm arose. In verse 39, it said, and he arose. In verse 37, it said it was a great storm, but hallelujah, he spoke to the winds and the waves. And my Bible said there was a great calm. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight he's still the master of the sea? Amen. Now, he can still the storm, or he'll either see you through the storm. In Acts chapter 27, we have the Apostle Paul. He's being sent to Rome. He's on a ship. And he warned them, told them they ought not loose from Crete. But they had some fellows in their day that somehow or another didn't think a preacher knew how to get in and out of the rain. Somebody probably said, what does Paul know about sailing a boat? He may have not known much about sailing a boat, but thank God he knew the master of the sea. Amen. And they went ahead and loosed and went on that voyage anyhow. And the Bible said, and the south wind blew softly. I'm sure they thought that old preacher didn't know what he's talking about. Amen. But a little while later, said a storm arose. Called it Euclidon. And that storm got so rough, they were throwing out the tackling of the ship. We all know that Dr. Luke, he's the writer of the book of Acts. And finally, Dr. Luke says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But I'm sure glad the story didn't stop there. Bible said, but after long abstinence, Paul found him a little secret place somewhere. I don't know if he's down the bottom of that boat, if he's up on top or wherever. But he got alone with God, had a little talk with Him, and he come back and said, fellas, you ought to listen and not loose from Crete. But I got good news. The angel of the Lord, whose I am, whom I serve, stood by me this night and said there's not going to be the loss of any man's life. The old ship may be tore up, but hey, we're going to make her safe. And you read the last verse in Acts chapter 27, and the Bible said they all made it safe to land. Some of them on boards. Amen. Told somebody a while back, that's the only place in the Bible I found the word boards. Baptists just can't get along about boards. Amen. Board of this and board of that. Well, I said he'll be there in the disaster storms. And you read the last verse, they all made it safe to land. Amen. Well, he'll be there and you're dwelling in the tombs. Doctors have failed. Deepest valleys, driest desert. Disappointments of life. He'll be there in the disastrous storms. Amen. But I'm glad also he'll be there when you're at a disadvantage with the devil. Think about Job tonight. Bible said Job eschewed evil. He was an upright man. Amen. Trying to live right and do right. But the devil came along one day. And even the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Oh, he said, yeah, but you got a hedge about him. Thank God for the hedge. But Lord, let the hedge down for a little while. And you remember the story? Chapter 1 of the book of Job and chapter 2, you find there Job lost everything. By the way, when one of those days come and you seem to have it so tough, I want you to turn over there and read about Job. All the things he went through. And then sometimes we've been critical of saying something about Job's wife. Well, I wouldn't say too much about her. Your wife ain't never followed 10 caskets down the graveside at one time. Amen. But all the things Job went through with, Job refused to accuse God. All this. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And then a little later, the devil come back a second time. Said, skin for skin, he'll turn and curse you. This time, Job is smote with boils from the top of his head down the bottom of his feet. Anybody ever had one boil? That's pretty tough. But you think about that. He's sitting there in an ash heap, taking a piece of old broken pottery and scraping the pus out of those old boils. And finally, Miss Job said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But the Bible said, in all this, Job sinned not. Amen. I'm glad the Lord will be there when you're at a disadvantage with the devil. Amen. Now, Brother Tripp, I was a grown man. And I'd heard preachers preach about Job. And somehow or another, they'd always tell me all the things that he'd went through. But somehow or another, they never did get over to the last chapter. But hallelujah, I'm glad I read the last chapter one day. And my Bible said the Lord gave him twice as much as he had, cattle and sheep and ox and all those things. And not only that, but the Bible said he gave him 10 more children. He's got 10 in glory and 10 on earth. Hallelujah. Thank God for the last chapter. I said the Lord will be there when you're at a disadvantage with the devil. And then I'm glad he'll be there when you get so discouraged you want to die. Think about old Elijah over there. 1 Kings chapter 19. The Bible said Miss Jezebel put Elijah on the run. After he had the prophets of Baal slain, she sent him a message and said, "By tomorrow about this time, I'm going to do the same to you." And Elijah went for his life. Left his servant behind. And you find him over there under a juniper tree. Any of y'all ever been under a juniper tree? But hey, Elijah's so discouraged that he said, "Lord, just let me go ahead and die." Well, now that was a foolish prayer. I mean, if he'd have really wanted to die, all he'd had done stayed where he was, and Jezebel took care of it. I prayed a few foolish prayers myself. I'm glad the Lord didn't answer them. Amen. But you find Elijah over there, he's so discouraged, he wants to die. He's ready to quit. But you ever thought about all the things that Elijah experienced before the devil hit him the hardest? Why, he saw commanded ravens. They brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. He saw a little widow woman take care of him. I didn't have nothing, but thank God he saw the cupboard replenished. That little widow woman's son died, and he raised him back to life, saw a child revived. He'd also experienced a Mount Carmel revival there with Baal's prophets, all that crowd. Hey, and the fire of the Lord fell. So he saw a Mount Carmel revival. Not only that, after 3.5 years of famine, he saw the coming rain. See what all he'd experienced. Hey, by the way, that's who the devil likes to stop. This crowd ain't doing nothing for God. Devil ain't going to bother them. Amen. But hey, I'm glad the Lord will be there when you're so discouraged you want to die. Bible said the Lord sent an angel down, woke Elijah up, and he saw a little cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He got up and ate and laid himself down. Now I'm always amazed, Brother Rick, sometimes what some people get out of my sermons. I was preaching along that line one night, and after we got through the church, went out to eat. This fella goes over and gets his food, brings it over there and sat down and said, "Brother Holyfield, my wife's always on my case about eating and laying down. And you read right there in the Bible where Elijah ate and laid himself down." He said, "I'm going to keep on doing that. Believe it's scriptural." But anyway, the Bible said he ate and laid himself down. Then the angel of the Lord came again the second time. Amen. And again told him to rise and eat. And this time he brought him some meat. And he said, arise and eat, because the journey's too great for thee. Glorious day in my life when I realized I can't make it on this journey by myself. Now some of y'all been wondering, what in the world did Elijah eat? Why, he ate angel food. I don't know what it was, but I've already eat a couple of maybe three times a day, and I'll probably eat again after a while and lay myself down. But I hadn't eaten anything lately that lasted me 40 days and 40 nights. But it did Elijah, and you know where he went? He went to Mount Horeb, got him out from under the juniper tree, got him back on the mountain where God could talk to him, and hallelujah, God wasn't through with him. I said, he'll be there you when you're so discouraged, you want to die. And then I'm glad he'll be there when difficult decisions are to be made. I think about a young man in the Old Testament by the name of Daniel. I like what Daniel chapter 1 said, that Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's table. Wasn't going to eat that food, wasn't going to drink the king's wine. And they had him and the three Hebrew boys over there, and he said, just put us through a little test. Bible said they gave them pulse to eat. Somebody said that was vegetables. I'm not sure about it. Maybe they were vegetarians for 10 days. I don't know. But after the 10 days were over, they looked better than any of the rest of that crowd. Amen. And they were more wiser than any of the rest of that bunch. God looked out for them. Amen. So he had a difficult decision, but he also had another decision to make when they made that decree that nobody could pray. But Daniel went up, Bible said, and his window being opened, and he prayed three times a day as he did a fourth time. He didn't start praying because they said he couldn't. He'd already been at it, amen. And he said, anybody that does that is going to be thrown in a den of lions. So they heard Daniel pray and they go get him, throw him in the den of lions. Not a lion's den, but a den of lions, because there's lions in there. But hey, they threw him in. God gave those old lions a locked jaw. He might have used old Leo for a pillow that night. I don't know. But the old king looked in and said, didn't we throw three in there? I see one likened to the Son of God. Hey, there's four in there. They brought old Daniel out unharmed. Amen? Bible said he didn't even have the smell of fire on him. You can't even go out and burn the trash and come back in without your wife saying, you smell like smoke. But I said he'll be there when difficult decisions are to be made. And thank God Daniel made the right decision. Then those three Hebrew boys, they made a decree that if they didn't bow down and worship, they're going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Those old boys looked at him and said, hey, our God's able to deliver, but if not, we're not going to bow. The Bible said they heated that furnace up seven times hotter than it had ever been heated before. In fact, it was so hot, it slew the men that threw them in. Amen. And they brought those old Hebrew boys out. Amen. I think I had Daniel in the fiery furnace a while ago. Don't worry about it. You'll be 68 one of these days. Not 68, but 78. Miss Sarah said the other day, I walked up here in the pulpit like a man 80 years old. I said, honey, I'm getting close. And I told her, I said, honey, you're 3/4 of 100. You got to slow down a little bit. Amen. But I said he'll be there when difficult decisions are to be made. And then last of all, he'll be there when death takes its toll. Think about a young man by the name of Stephen over there in Acts chapter number 7. Now, Stephen was a preaching deacon. And he preached a message to that crowd. And friend, they didn't like it. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. And they took stones and stoned him. But the Bible says, while all the rocks are flying, he looked up toward heaven. And he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. I said he'll be there when death takes its toll. I believe God's grace will be sufficient. Believe God will give you dying grace when it comes your time. But listen, I don't have dying grace tonight. I hope I'm not dying. But I believe it'll come when I need it. Amen. But I've been around some dear old saints of God who love God. And I've seen them cross over to glory. And I've seen that God's grace is sufficient. I think about my mother. She loved God, took me to church, told me about Jesus. She was a pianist at our church. She loved to play that piano and sing. But Mama died at the age of 46. Didn't understand it all back then. Had a sister who's only 14 years old. But listen, I'm glad God knew what He's doing. But I saw God's grace. Mama had been in a coma for a little while, there for a day or two. But that morning, as she crossed over, God let her come back around for a few minutes. And Mama went out of this place singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound saved a wretch like me. I remember my dear old dad. Dad was 6'2", weighed about 240 pounds. I mean, worked hard on the farm all of his life. Something needed to be moved, he'd just reach out and get it. By the way, if need be, reach out and get you. Amen? But he had a bout with leukemia and wasted away to nothing. Wasn't nothing but skin and bones. But I remember that morning when Dad's about ready to cross over. I said, Dad, you go on and be with the Lord and we'll come on after a while. And he said, yeah, and we'll have a jubilee. Amen. I saw dying grace. Amen. In the life of both of my parents. And I've seen it in others. As I said, I pastored four Baptist churches. But I'm glad God will be there when death takes its toll. Where's God at, preacher? Well, I've tried to tell you just a few places. Now, I don't know your heart tonight. If you were to be like that Gadarean maniac tonight and you need to be saved, be a good time to get in. He's able to save you here at the camp meeting tonight. Or if you be like some of these other folks, you've been going through disappointments, you've been discouraged, you've been defeated, you're kindly down and out, be a good time to come around this altar tonight as we get an invitation ready. And friend, ask the Lord to help you. He wants to help you. He'll give you strength and He'll help you in the time of need. Whether you're going through a storm or whatever you may be facing tonight, there's a God in heaven who loves you. In fact, my Bible said He loved us with an everlasting love. And I'm so glad tonight, thank God, there'll never be a day I'll ever hear the Lord say, Leon Holyfield, I don't love you. Because He loved me with an everlasting love. And by the way, He still loves you tonight. You might be out of God's will. You may be walking afar off, but God still loves you and He wants to help you. So whatever your need is tonight as we stand, Brother Tim's coming with an invitation. And if you need to come around this altar, it's always open around here. And somebody, if you need help, somebody be glad to help you tonight, whatever the need may be.